The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Vadim Alexander, Head of Healthcare at SP Angel. You're Vadim.
How are you doing, Justin?
I'm good, you know, I'm feeling better because the weather's a bit nicer. And last couple of days it's been nice weather, but it's been a cold air. I don't know where that's coming from, the north, I think. But now that's gone, dissipated, and now we've got air coming from the south, so it's a bit warmer and it's feeling a bit like, you know, spring is here, heading into summer. Will the markets awaken with this weather? Hopefully it will, but...
It would be nice. I think all this talk with the debt ceiling is giving markets a little bit of a boost lately, because it feels like the debt ceiling in the U.S. is getting... Well, it's not resolved yet, but, you know... Hopefully we'll get there, and certainly both parties are showing putting up positive vibes. Yeah. Positive vibes, yeah, exactly.
Well, let's be honest. It is like saying, you know, shall we jump off this cliff or not? I mean, that's the, you know, cause if you don't agree a debt ceiling, then there'll be a tailspin. It'll hit the markets, it'll businesses, and so it's not worth it. In the end, I mean, they always do come to agreement. There may be a bit of delay, toing or froing, which may throw the market a bit, but at the end of the day, both sides don't want to crater the economy, you know, so...
Correct. And even politically, it's such a failure of governance, right? So means we can't govern.
Exactly.
as governors of this country. Yeah. So but both sides, it doesn't work for, you know, it doesn't reflect well on governance on both for both to both parties. So I think you're right. I agree with you.
Yeah. So let's talk about a stock we both held, and I say held in past tense because I did sell the morning before the results came out, and the reason for that is, in this market, if I'm making a bit of a, you know, speculative sort of punt-ish on a stock and I think it's going up, I take a small position. But now, if it hits 20% down and it hits sort of a certain level on the chart where it is obvious support there and breaks down below, I get out. And I saw this with ASOS a couple of days back. £7 was pronounced. I only had a small position, like 2% of my portfolio. And it broke down below that £7 level the day before results. And this is not good. You know, weakness before results come out, interim results for 6 months. And so I just decided to get out. And I thought, I may make a mistake. It may come in with good results and it'll fly. But I'm willing to take the chance. And, you know, and luckily, next day, for me, they went down by 23% and then a bit further down. So I made a call. I mean, I did have a lot of money in there, but I did make a loss on them. But
No, I didn't. So that was the right call to make. Absolutely. And ASOS, in my opinion, so, you know, where are we today? And it's always against price, right? I kind of got in around 550 last, I think, November or something like that, October, November. And as with all these things, I think my biggest difficulty is selling when it's rallied. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and then there's a second type of sale, which is cutting your losses, which is what you did, which is great. That is the right thing to do. Well, at 720, right? Maybe not at 400 anymore. And in fact, this is what we wanted to discuss today is, you know, where are we today with this stock? You know, if you look at it, people like my gosh, they're buying again. You know what I mean? That's the question. So selling at 720 perfectly makes sense. I'm not sure if selling at 400 makes sense for me.
You see what
I'm saying? So I'm, you know, I'm in, luckily I wasn't in at, you know, a quid or what, sorry, at a thousand, you know what I mean? At 10 quid. So I'm glad about that. You know, I was already bottom fishing. So we discussed this at length at the time, right? So they're already bottom fishing on these stocks, right? They're robust, you know, bigger companies with, you know, a lot of revenues, et cetera, et cetera. This one, I have to say, within the retail portfolio of stocks, and I say retail as in that broadly, you know, like we were talking about ASOS, Boohoo, AO.com, and EasyJet as companies that I like. And then I think one more. But overall, I found this one the most risky, specifically because I watched your video, because of the balance sheet, right? So this one has its cons. And the question is, at these levels, you know, are those cons worth? So I'm debating whether I'm going to stay in or not. Do I take a loss at 400 over 550? You know, and, you know, it is a loss. It's not the end of the world, but it's not. Or do I see it through because I think that it's been misinterpreted on the risk of this debt? So let's talk about the debt, right? Because that really is the big red flag here. Isn't as much as revenues contracting, which I think everyone anticipated. Mm-hmm. It's can they see it through? Can they make it through this trough? Okay, in their own restructuring, and they have been restructuring, which I'm happy to see. Part of their losses are attributable to the moving out of product categories that weren't as profitable, but you know there's a cost to that, right? So the revenues have declined. Half of the revenue decline is attributed to that. So that's good because that's by choice. They're getting out of low margin product lines. Good. It's part of their restructuring. And then the question then becomes, can they survive? And what I think is a little bit misinterpreted is the H1, H2 cash draw. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you look at their historic H1, you also saw cash go out to the tune of 200, very similar cash draws between H1 and H1 last year. And I think it's something like 260 million in both cases. So if you compared H1 to H1, you'll see that it's happened before and then it reverses in H2. And that's what they're saying. So they're not, you know, they I don't think with 100% certainty we can rely on what they're saying. So don't get me wrong. You know, can't believe everything at face value given the company's under duress. But the question there becomes is at this level, at 400, if you believe or not whether their working capital is going to unwind like it has done historically seasonally. Mm-hmm. Do you see what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like I don't expect a 260 draw again in the second half. I expect it to, you know, that would be crazy. I mean, that would be everything's possible, but it's not at all what they're talking about. They're talking about now a cash influx. Which is what they've done historically. There's some seasonality in their business.
Yeah.
So, you know, they they're at 300 million or so, 350 million facility, I think.
Yeah, they did say they ended H1 with cash and undrawn facilities totaling 408 million.
Correct.
And if you look at that, there's 308 in cash. So I assume, yeah, and they're at, where are they at now? Debt is 740 million. So I assume
but that's 100 million. There's a convertible. Yeah. There's a convertible loan to that convertible loan. You know what they're paying? They're less than 1% on it.
Okay.
So you know it was struck in 2021, and it goes out to 2027 or 2029, I think even. So you know it's way out. That convertible loan, that first tranche of debt, to me is harmless. It's not harmless completely, but it's harmless in the context of what we're talking about here. We're talking about, can they survive the next 6 months without a massive cash crunch, you know? Yeah. And it boils down to, you've said it, they're sitting on the cash. They drew down on the facility and they're sitting on the cash pile of 300 million. And they have another 100 million or so that they can draw down further on the facility. Now, one little caveat to all of this is there are covenants, which, you know, one has to look at. I haven't looked at it in great detail. So if they breach massive covenants, that's a different story, right? So on that drawdown, so I don't know. I'm debating, right? I'm still debating because I'm sitting here on, you know, whatever it is, 15, 20% loss. And I'm saying, do I see it through? And then I see that one of the main reasons I eventually, what triggered me to buy at that time in October, November last year, was this business of Mike Ashley buying stock. And then he goes and ups his stake the next day. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
this week, just this week. So I'm saying, you know, at 400, him buying, is that a good thing, a bad thing? You know, does he have it wrong? I don't know, you know.
Mm.
Certainly, I do think it's a group that's of interest to others, as in to other parties,
yeah.
Strategic buyers, Fraser Group being one of them. And the whole principle of buying stocks at these levels is because they are cheap. But this one's risky because of the debt. If one can stomach, you know, seeing the second half performance, does it pan out like they say it does? So they're expecting a 100 million cash draw this year, and they've exceeded that, and they're saying a lot of it's going to reverse, and seasonally, historically, it reverses. Mm-hmm. So, you know, can we believe them on that? And if they do, then I think the shares will rally. But this morning, is it time to buy the stock? I don't know. It's hard, very, very hard to tell some.
Yeah. It's funny.
I can't say it myself. Do I hold or do I sell? That's my, you know, am I adding? Probably not.
No, yeah, well, exactly. It's three areas, isn't it? Adding, no. Okay, definitely not. Holding, probably, or maybe, because it could, like I said, we come from a very oversold position, and you know they have their interims out the way now. There's not going to be any bad news for a while. You know, I mean, because it's going to be like, 6 to 9 months before their full year results. So they'll have training updates are a lot more positive than the actual, you know, financial results, because they just basically pick the highlights pretty much. So if you get Fraser Group buying some more and a bit of good news, a bounce, I think it could happen, you know. So having said that, Fraser Group is buying, but Bank of America Corporation are selling. So they're winning against it. But yeah, I think, like I said, the large falls tend to happen off the back of financial results, you know, interims, full year results. And then it bottoms out and it maybe starts a rally and they release some sort of positive trading update. Things are going well. And I think it could sort of move forward. So yeah, and I know it's hard to hold when you've had a big drop, you know, and everything's bearish. But yeah. It's had a big fall, hasn't it? Let's be honest. It's technically
oversold. Well, this is it. It looks like it's priced to go bust, and that's, as we've always said on the, you know, in our discussions, is the one thing you want to be careful with some of these companies. Always buy them as a portfolio, but you know the big companies go bust, and this is possible. It's possible. You know what I mean? So it's the one thing we have to rule out of all of them. It's the one I could rule out the least, right? So. You know, I'm looking at this one and saying that's where the worry is with this one. It could go bust, you know. So that's a possibility, and that's what that's the risk here. Yeah. Unlike I have to say other ones like Boohoo, you know, I do feel irrespective of its, you know, it has other issues, litigation, all these things that, you know, historically have bogged it down. It has other problems, but I feel like their performance is coming through, and that it's a bit more credible that they're going to bounce back more aggressively. But we'll see. Yeah. You know, it's also reflected in their shares. It's, you know, it's come down. It gone from like 38p, 39p, all the way up to 60p. It's come back to 40p, but it's coming now. The stock's starting to rally again. But I do think that one might be an opportunity.
Yeah, and to be honest, I mean, I did a video on Boohoo as well, and looking at the two, Boohoo looks a lot healthier. Like I said, they do have debt that's stayed where it is, and their cash has gone up. So they've gone from, you know, $325 million in debt. It stayed the same. That's from their interims. But the cash has gone from $314 million to $330 million. So they've increased cash. So operating cash flow has gone up massively on a percentage scale. There's no growth there yet, down 11% top line. But if they, you know, their gross margin has gone down a little bit, but they do seem, like I said, increase in cash of $229 million, pretty much. So, and they are a net cash position now rather than a net debt position, which they were in. They were like $10 million in debt, net debt, but now they're almost $6 million in cash position. So it seems they're heading in the right direction, Boohoo. Now,
Stock's been punished
because
of ASOS.
Yeah, I suppose so. But also, it's like going forward, it's almost looking at margins now because they've got to get. Yeah, they can go from being, you know, coming from almost being dead to coming back alive and improving a bit. But how are they going to get the margins up? Because even looking at the returns on Boohoo, I'm thinking there's not a lot of return there based on what brokers are saying and going forward next couple of years. So, it's almost like they were the darlings, but they've been hit massively, these companies. And I don't know if they can get back to it. Because there's been a lot more competition coming to the market since they were at the prime, you know. So it's hard.
Like Shane or Shine or whatever it's called, the Chinese company.
Yeah.
But the big ones are the big threat, right? So but they do have issues. Those companies they need, which is what Boohoo is addressing. They need something on the ground in the U.S. and Boohoo recognized that, and that's what they're banking on is their. Their delivery time is going to go down to 2 to 3 days with their new facility that they're opening up in the U.S., right? Which is pending. I think it's going to be this summer. I can't remember. They're phasing it in, basically. Okay. And that makes sense in that the competition that they're – the price competition is with, let's say, this big threat. It's a Chinese company called Shane. I can't pronounce it properly. S-H-E-I-N. Mm-hmm. And their delivery times are 10 days. That's the difference. That's the issue.
Yeah.
You know, you in the fast fashion area, delivery time matters also, right? Yeah. So cost matters. Yes, Shane is winning on that, but delivery times matter also. So I do think they're not doing anything about it. And that's a good thing in Boohoo's case. And you're absolutely right. They're healthier and they're in a healthier position. Mm-hmm. And then the question is just to your point, you know, where's the return? And that's the difficulty with these ones is the return is in the rally off the bottom. You see what I mean? Because they're they're so smashed. The prices are so smashed. The share prices, mm-hmm. right? That's that. And if you look at the volatility, look at ASOS. It's gone. It's gone from 500 to 1,000 back to 400.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's done so almost a couple of times. So you know the Boohoo has followed it, unfortunately, and yet its performance is improving. So I do think that back to my point, you know, about between Boohoo and ASOS right now, Boohoo is looking a good bet in terms of buying. Because it's come down on the basis of on the back of ASOS's results, and that's it. And that's the only almost the only reason. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I mean, I've mentioned this was the commented recently, Paul. But I've sold three companies recently, and I've had near misses on three of them, and I've sold them before results come out. And basically, because they hit a certain level of chart with support, they've both gone below it. And one was On the Beach, and the other was Future PLC, which is down 14% today, and the results are interim results. And even though you know they're still you know profitable, decent margins, they've always been an amazing growth stock. And of late, of course, advertising—that's what they do. They've got 250 websites, branded websites. You know, in an area where they're not growing, and you know the margins squeeze a little bit. You think, wow, they've taken a massive knock, and they've done 14%.
Yeah.
But based on like these, this is a company that was you know historical PE has been easy in you know 20, 30, even 40, and right now they're on a PE of 9. You know, a future, and their margins are very good. Worth looking at operating margin on the interims, still 22%. You know, operating cash flow 30%, pretty much. So, and a couple of things have taken a bit of a knock, but and they do say the outlook is a bit, you know, questionable as advertising at the moment because that's what takes a hit in a downturn. You know, brands cut advertising budgets because they can. It's very easy to do that. So, yeah, but worth a look. But it's almost at the moment trying to avoid, you know, pre-guessing results because they never tend to exceed in this environment, very rarely.
You know? It is a difficult environment. I mean, some of the ones that are doing, okay, you know, EasyJet is another one we talked about a lot. You know, it's that seems to be travel. People have seemed to allocate their budget for travel irrespective of what happens, you know, elsewhere in their consumption portfolio. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
travel strangely is coming through in the numbers. Yeah. You know,
take your time. Anyway, listen, I know you gotta go. So listen, we'll speak next week. Thanks for that, fella. Have a nice weekend.
Perfect. Thanks. You too, Justin. Take care.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.